sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends, grace to you and peace from Jesus the Christ, who meets us where we are today and offers us healing, freedom from the demonic forces of this world. Amen. All this tearing out imagery is tough to hear in the Gospel of Mark today. I have preached on these words from Mark chapter 9 before, and I'll preach on them again. But I always feel like when these incendiary, even traumatic metaphors and words come up, like they do in the text today, hell and the tearing out of eyes, they kind of hijack other powerful sections of our Sunday readings. I mean, you kind of have to say something about this, right? Can't just ignore, pretend Jesus didn't just say that. Well, friends, you're welcome to listen back to my sermon on the amputation metaphors 3 years ago. And I'll preach on this again. But we are freed in the gospel to go a different route. And today I'm going to look at the second lesson from James chapter 5. James is a book that for whatever reason, whether it's location or the time that it was written or the context, for whatever reason, James is a book, a letter that missed Paul's writings and Paul's theology. James is functioning in the church in a different way than Paul's letters, or the Gospels for that matter. You might know that Luther called the book of James the Epistle of Straw. That is, he said it should be thrown out of the Bible. It's worthless. It doesn't contain any gospel, Luther said. It's all about works and not grace, Luther said. It's all about what you should do, the good things, the good deeds you need to do, not who God is. Gracious and merciful. Paul's theology, on the other hand, saved by grace, apart from works, on account of Jesus Christ, that was up Luther's alley. James literally says, faith without works is dead. Well, I'm glad we didn't throw it out. I'm glad Luther didn't actually throw it out. He said it should be, but I'm glad we didn't throw it out. And at the same time, I agree largely with Luther. Be an interesting study. On the side here to look at James together in a Christian ed session or something. James's early church instruction maybe even predates Paul. Not sure. Scholars, some say it was before Paul. Others say, no, it was probably in the second century. But either way, it's first and second century Christians' manual for how they will live together. The book of James, how will we take care of both each other in the Christian community, in this newly formed gathering of Jesus followers, and how will we take care of others beyond ourselves? When you look at it like that, it is a powerful book. I think, actually, there is absolutely grace, but it's between the lines in the book of James. It's not grace explicitly. And Luther needed an explicit theology of grace in his time and place, when the church in his time was all about right actions, right works, right piety, right faith, right doing. James was not helpful. I think, by the way, we should commend Luther's clarity of message. This is not what we need right now, Luther said. And so he went Paul. He went Gospel of John. We need solid gold gospel, Luther said. We need Pauline theology. We need John's theology. I like to say it like this. Luther was really teaching a 100-level class. You know? And James is more like a 400-level class. Both are very important. And I should say, too, some jump into James like they're ready for the 400-level. But I would suggest you need that 100-level Luther theology of grace, Pauline class first, and then we get to James. We're at James today. I think James assumes grace and is operating in the now what phase of the Christian life together, of the Christian in the world. Now what? It assumes grace, so now what? What does this life in Christ really look like? The salt life, if I use metaphor from Jesus in the Gospel of Mark today. What does that look like? What does this salt life look like? I'm glad we didn't throw James out. It's wisdom and it's grace for us even now. So in chapter 5 here today, James starts by asking, are any of you suffering? Pray. He's going to ask three things, by the way. Are any of you suffering? Are any of you cheerful? And are any of you sick? So James is going to speak to sickness in a moment. So this first question, are any of you suffering? I think suffering here is something different than arthritis or cancer or guilt. This is a suffering of the soul. Are any of you suffering? Suffering in this sense is about gripping tightly. Are any of you suffering? Are any of you gripping so tightly? Our Buddhist siblings wisely teach suffering is, in fact, attachment. How attached we can get and almost lose our souls. How attached we can get to things, to old feelings. You know, I've always felt this way. How attached we can get. This is just who I am. How attached we can get to unhealthy habits or unhealthy people. You know, this is just what I've always known. How attached we can get to the need to impress or the need to protect or the need to enjoy or the need to be in control. How attached we can get to history the way it used to be. How attached we can get to those things, to money, to objects. How attached we can get. You know, a couple years ago, I did an exercise where I had everyone grip their hands, just clench their hands into a fist as tight as they could, try to hold that for a little bit, and then let go and open your hands up. And then do it again. And then I ask them, which of these two positions, hands gripped or just open and relaxed, did you prefer? And of course, everybody, I prefer my hands open and relaxed. It even starts to hurt after a while if we're gripping, if we're clenching so tightly. Get tired. And then even more, it feels so wonderful to just open your hands and relax. That's the posture of prayer. That's the gesture of prayer. I encourage you to pray with open hands. Try that. It's a posture of letting go. Ephphatha is the language that Jesus used in the text a few weeks ago. Be opened. It's been a theme for us here at Bethlehem in these early weeks of fall. Be open. Ephphatha. It's when Jesus healed the man by opening his ear and opening his tongue so that he could speak. And he spoke that word. Ephphatha. Be opened. Let go. I posted a quote that struck me this week. I'm paraphrasing, but something like, pay attention. The autumn leaves are about to teach us how beautiful letting go can be. There's a picture of some red leaves falling. Isn't that beautiful? Are any of you suffering? Pray, James instructs. How is your prayer life, friends in Christ? James is 400 level here, but you're ready for that, no matter your age. We are plunged here at Bethlehem into a grace-filled church. So every week, we're 100 level Pauline basics. Grace abounds. So let's reflect on our prayer practices for a bit. God is good. God is gracious. You don't have to get all legalistic about your prayer life. Every morning I will write my prayer journal. No. But how often are you praying these days? Reflect on that. I am struck by how often we don't pray at meals. I am struck by how often we don't pray at meetings. You know, we just charge right in. We got business to take care of. We just rush right in. Forget the prayer. I'm just struck by how often we don't pray in the morning when we wake up or at bedtime. before we close our eyes, I'm struck by how often we don't pray after a tough conversation. And I'm struck by how often we don't pray when something good happens. How often we don't pray when we're having trouble letting go. Are any of you suffering? Pray. Are any of you cheerful? Sing, James says. How are we lifting up the joyful voices in our midst? You know, I give a lot of ear to the angry voices in our world, in our communities. The complaining voices, the worried voices. I want to respond. I want to hear that. I want to respond. How often? I give ear to the bully at the microphone or the quick, cruel email. You know, I just fret about it. That tends to ring in my ear and keep me up at night. Is that true for you too? How might we better hear the singing voices among us? No? Ephphatha. Be open. Maybe that's what Jesus, when Jesus heals the man, he opens up his ears. How is Jesus opening our ears and our tongues to sing as well? But how is Jesus opening our ears to hear the singing voices among us, in our midst? Isn't that the church, by the way? Especially this church, singing. We are a congregation that sings with our lives, too. I was reflecting with the confirmation kids yesterday on our God moments. We were going around. I won't share what they said, but I realized my God moment in this last week came as we were singing last Sunday. I had never sung this hymn before that we sang, but I had tears running down my face and a smile. I mean, there's power in singing. Are any of you cheerful? Is there anything at all to be thankful for? Of course. But don't just take that answer for granted. Don't just slap some obligatory, maybe even a public prayer on it, showing your faith to everyone, and then move on with, quote, real life, with what you're not thankful for, or what you still don't have, or what we still don't have in the world. No, receive with grace. Receive the grace that overflows. Let it fill your soul. Even if it's as simple as a sunrise, or a call from a friend, or just a compliment. Receive that. Let it fill your soul. Maybe the nuzzle from a dog or the kindness of a stranger. Maybe a morsel of bread, a taste of wine, a drop of rain. Let it fill your soul. Bring a smile to your face. Maybe a tear of joy to your eye, a song to your heart. This is James. This is 400 level stuff. Any of you cheerful, sing. And finally, are any of you sick? Now we can talk physical, emotional, psychological health. Are any of you sick? Receive oil, James prescribes. Receive the laying on of hands from your community of faith. James writes, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Here it is again, pray. And be prayed for, we hear here. Be prayed over. How much is guilt and shame and perfectionism and workaholism and shouldism? You know what I mean by that? I should do this, I should do that. How much is that over us instead of the hands of prayer? How much is that bringing us down instead of the Lord raising us up? I mean, okay, there are absolutely physical conditions that we bear. Things that have nothing to do with us that bring us down. Accidents that happen beyond our control. Conditions that we're born with. Aging. Some things just happen. And we are called to be together and pray for each other through those uncontrollables. There's an instruction there for us as God's people here. How are we checking in on one another and not just asking how we're doing, but saying, can I pray for you? You'll be in my prayers. The Christian community is called to lay hands on and pray over one another in our sickness. But then James starts talking here about forgiveness and confession of sins. What's the connection there with illness, with sickness? Right away, it's directly linked. James talks about forgiveness and the confession of sins. There are some things like guilt and shame and perfectionism and workaholism and shouldism. Count, by the way, this week how many times you say or you hear someone else say, I should do this, I should do that. These things bring us down. They prey on us, P-R-E-Y. But James tells us that in Christian community, God raises us up. The prayer in our hymnal, our red hymnal, we have a whole prayer, a whole service for healing. It puts it like this. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, be strengthened and filled with God's grace, that you may know the healing power of the Spirit. Receive the oil as a sign of forgiveness and healing in Jesus Christ. Amen. There's an absolute grace here, friends. God promises to be with us, to unburden us of our shame, of our burdens. And God promises to forgive us. This connection between forgiveness and healing is an essential one in Scripture. This is grace working. Grace working. This is grace working on you. Receive it with good cheer. It is free. It is abundant. And together, friends, we keep singing, we keep serving, we keep lifting up our time and our talents and our money. Never was ours anyways. It's all God's. We keep lifting up our whole selves in joyful response to God's joy and God's love this day and always. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.